Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. And today we're joined by David Sundman, also known by his stage name, Lifted. David is a husband, father, rapper, speaker, and pastoral resident at Quorum Deo Church in Omaha. But his story didn't begin there. At 24 years old, David was homeless and addicted. Everything changed when he entered a Christian recovery program in 2015. Today, we'll hear how God transformed his life, how he uses music to share the gospel, and why he believes the church must stand for life. So, David, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to get to chat with you today.
Great, great, great. So, David, let's begin with your story. Who was David before you encountered Christ?
Yes. You shared a little bit of my AD resume. I'll give you a little bit more of the BC, the before Christ resume, I guess. I was a liar, a thief, manipulator. I was addicted to drugs from an early age. When I was 18, my mom had to kick me out and change the locks and install extra locks on the home that I grew up in. And I was an atheist. I hated Christianity. I was happy to tell anyone why what they believed was foolish. And that's what led to me being 24 and severely addicted to heroin and meth. I was an IV drug user. And I was sleeping on the sidewalk outside of a train station in San Francisco. And that's when I became a follower of Jesus. And believe it or not, things are different now.
Well, yeah. Coming to fall in love with Jesus, following Jesus actually does change things, doesn't it?
Imagine that. Yes.
Wow. So you shared that you were homeless and addicted. How did you really reach that point? And they said your mom had put you out, but...
Yes. You know, sin is progressively enslaving.
Yeah.
Now, it promises freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What it gives you instead is slavery. And so, you know, I was enslaved to my desire to get high.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that before everything else that's actually necessary for survival, like food or sleep or human relationships. And so things just get worse and worse because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's what happened in my life.
So that season eventually led you to a recovery program. What brought you to City Team in Oakland?
Well, one morning, and this is in November of 2015, I woke up and I was standing in that train station, and you know what had been happening was circumstances had been happening because I was really trying to do my best to keep getting high, and it was like things kept happening that in my mind could not have been coincidence. It's like something in the universe was trying to stop me, and to me it was like they were like signs. And the thought that went through my head on that morning was, maybe all those people were right. Maybe there's a God. And you know, it's the simplest thing, but in that moment, it seemed like it was so obvious that God was real, and it was so cheesy. I literally looked up at the sky, and I was like, "I hear you." Like I knew that God was there in that moment, and you know, not that there was just a God, but that there was a personal God who knew me. And he was trying to intervene in my life. Everything changed for me at that point. I didn't know at all at that time what it meant to follow Jesus. That came a little bit later, but I had heard about this Christian program called City Team Oakland, which is a rescue mission very similar to Open Door Mission here in Omaha. And my mom had told me about it. Although she's an atheist, all she knew was that they do it for free. They'll take you in for a whole year and give you a place to live and take care of all of your needs. And my parents weren't going to pay for me to go to rehab. And so they told me to go there. And so that was the first place that I thought to go to. And that's where I first learned about who Jesus was really and studied the Bible for the first time. And I became a disciple of Jesus and was baptized, and my life's never been the same.
Praise God. So you mentioned your mom was an atheist. Did you identify as an atheist as well?
Absolutely, yes. Both of my parents were atheists, still are to this day, and I consider myself one as well. Because, you know, because I wasn't discipled to Jesus early on, I was discipled by other things. I was discipled by the music I was listening to. I was discipled by what I was reading on the internet. And the worldview that I adopted was interesting because I could see that something was not the way that it was supposed to be in the world. Mm-hmm. That things had gone wrong, that people mistreated each other. Mm-hmm. Only I thought that religion was part of that. And I thought, you know, people just use the lie of God to try to hurt other people. And I listened to music and to voices that affirmed that.
Wow. And that's really interesting to me. So I was going to ask you, what did you believe about God? But it sounds like you just felt like it was just a part of the lies that all the other religions or lies or things that you were listening to, just a part of that.
Absolutely. I thought it was just fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought religion was part of what was wrong with the world, that Christianity was a part of that. I had a certain image of who Christians were, mm-hmm. and I thought it was all one big lie.
Yeah, wow. So, David, in the midst of all that brokenness, can you describe the moment that you fully surrendered to Christ? You know, I really believe in life transformation, and so I'm always curious to hear what did it feel like when you fully surrendered?
Yes. Well, so when I entered this program and, you know, programs like this, I like to call it discipleship boot camp, mm-hmm. because you're really leaving your old life behind. Mm-hmm. You're in the Word daily. From day one, we're in the residential program and we're serving the guys who are in the homeless shelter, and we're, you know, preparing meals and cleaning up the shelter every day. Mm-hmm. In addition to going to church and being in the 12-step community, all that kind of stuff. But as I actually started to study the scriptures for the first time, the person of Jesus was so compelling to me in a way that I had never known before, because, you know, I had found myself at the lowest point in my life. And then I started to study Jesus and the type of people that he came for. Mm-hmm. And when he said that he came not for the righteous, but for sinners, to call them to repentance, that I realized he came for people like me.
Yeah.
This was the God who had all of the power and holiness, who entered his own creation and lived a life of lowliness and humility. Mm-hmm. And that was different than anything else I had seen in the world.
Yeah.
He was different than any leader I had ever seen, different than any type of lifestyle that I'd ever seen. And I found myself believing there's no other way for me. Mm-hmm. This is the only way. And so I believe that I wanted to, that was a God that I wanted to give my life to.
Yeah, that's good. So with all that history and your surrendering your life to Christ and just really true real life transformation, how does your past atheism shape the way you share the gospel with people who are skeptical or resistant to faith? This is something that will help all of us, whether we've been atheists or not.
Yes, I would say that because of my own story, I know that no matter how hardened someone is in their atheism, there is still hope for them. Because I've seen, if God can change me, I know who I was and I know who I am now. And if God can change my heart, then he can change anybody's. But I also know that without the help of the Holy Spirit to soften someone's heart,
yeah,
there's nothing we can say that's going to change anybody without the Holy Spirit's help. And so I think it's important to know that anyone can change. It's also important to know that we aren't the ones who change anybody. That's ultimately God's work. He's the only one that can do that. But we can faithfully reach out to people. I know that a lot of what I believe were just misconceptions about Christianity or what the Bible taught. And so I want to show people who also believe some of those misconceptions that actually Christianity is good, it's true, and it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful vision for humanity that you will ever find.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So now looking back, what stands out as the greatest evidence of God's grace in that season for you?
I have had so many friends who are not as fortunate as me, who are addicted, and who've died.
Yeah.
And or who are in prison. Or have done damage to their lives that they won't be able to come back from in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And I feel so fortunate that God has restored me, that I can have a life of flourishing that I have today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because of his grace towards me.
Yeah, I feel like God's grace is something that I have, I won't say just recently, but really kind of lean into. God's grace is just what I need every day, you know. And I think if, when I'm talking to people, I think when we get a hold to what God's grace does in our lives, it really is transformational. Yeah. And without God's grace, we can't make it.
Yes. We have to know that nothing that we have is not a gift from God.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's good. So shifting gears a little bit, your transformation didn't stop there. You also found a voice through music. You're known in gospel hip hop as Lifted. How did music become a part of your journey after meeting Christ?
Well, I was making hip hop music since the time I was in high school. I was in a hip hop group that performed around Sacramento where I grew up. But I was kicked out because of my drug use but continued to write songs. And actually where the name Lifted originally came from, when I was 13 years old, I was sitting around with some friends. I was trying to come up with a graffiti name. And I didn't know what to go by. And someone said, well, what do you like to do? And my best answer at that age was, I like to get high. And so someone said, well, okay, you get lifted. You're lifted. And so that was my name. And so then, you know, when I was 24, I entered this program, City Team in Oakland. The very first week that I was there, there happened to be a church that came and they were doing a worship service in the shelter there. Mm. And so I was down there listening to that. And there were two guys who came that night with the church. They didn't usually come with them, but they happened to be there that night. And they were doing Christian hip hop in the shelter. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard anybody rap about Jesus before. And they were actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so I connected with them afterwards. And one of them happened to be a guy who has a Christian nonprofit that aims to help Christian artists to use their, you know, creative gifts to glorify God and to be discipled in that way. And so we connected. And he encouraged me to start writing music for Jesus, which took a little while because I had to actually learn what I should be saying. But then I had to decide, you know, like what name should I go by? Should I change my name? You know, and what I realized was, you know, in thinking about just hip hop rap in general, a lot of it is so prideful and self-exalting. It's all about talking about how you're better than somebody else, pretty much. That's at least what a lot of it is. And that's kind of what it was for me. And as a Christian, I realized actually our goal is to humble ourselves, right? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so through the music, I decided I want to humble myself. Part of that is sharing my own story of what God has done for me and then lift up the name of Jesus. And so that's what I decided that the name would be about, is what is lifted now is the name of Jesus through the music.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Do you want to make a difference, but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today.
So how do you use hip hop to share your story and reach audiences who may never step into a church?
That's a great question, because hip hop really has that ability to be a bridge.
Yeah.
And it certainly was for me, even in that, you know, first week that I was there, that I connected with those guys and they helped disciple me when I was still felt very distant from, you know, people who were churched, I guess you could say. And so, you know, one of the best places that I like to go and perform is in recovery programs like the one that I was in. So, you know, at times I'll just go down to Open Door Mission here in Omaha and just bring a microphone. And while everyone's there eating dinner in the dining hall, just start rapping, and people love it because I think it's a style of music that people in that culture can connect with.
Yeah.
But then when they hear you rapping about God and about the gospel, then that's powerful. And that starts conversations, that enables me to share my story and open the door, hopefully, for people to also receive that gift.
That's good. I have two younger girls. I have daughters. I have two daughters. And sometimes I listen to Christian rap or gospel rap or gospel hip hop. And sometimes I feel like you can say so much more in a rap song or a hip hop song than you're saying in the hymns. Not that the hymns are not great. I am like the worshiper of worshipers. You know, I love worship music. I love worship music, but it's the same, But I feel like sometimes you can say so much more, you know, in other genres, if I can say that. So that's funny. Is there a lyric or song that resonates most with people walking through their own struggles? Is there something that you've written that, you know, you feel like this song is one that ministers to people the most?
You know, the one that stands out is one that is unique in that I wrote it. I started writing it while I was still addicted. Mm. Because even at that time, I knew that, you know, my situation was really dark. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what change looked like. And so I wanted to write a song that kind of captured what it felt like to be addicted. But I never finished it while I was still addicted. But then after I became a follower of Jesus, I finished it. Mm. And so the chorus of that song, after the first two verses, goes like this. I can stop anytime I want to. Famous last words that'll come back to haunt you. I can stop anytime I want to. Hanging off the last branch I got to hold on to. I can stop anytime I want to. But I just don't want to. No, I just don't want to. No, I just don't want to stop. And so that's the chorus of the song after the first two verses. And so that's kind of what it felt like for me. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, of even if they haven't been addicted, mm-hmm. but they have that feeling of doing something that they wish they could change, but they can't.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the song, after I became a follower of Jesus, I was like, how am I going to finish this song and end with hope? And so I changed it. The chorus goes like this. I can't stop. Even though I want to, famous last words coming back round to haunt me. I can't stop, even though I want to. Last branch broke, hit the bottom, and I fall through. Can't stop, even though I want to. So it's gotta finally call to. So it's gotta finally fall to. Now I think I see a light. And so that's the end of the song, because I think that's also something that people can connect with, is that they know that there's that sense of desperation that you feel when you know you can't fix yourself, but that's actually when true hope can enter in, because that's when you put your hope in God instead of yourself. And so that was kind of the idea for the song. And so that's one that I've heard from people that they really connect with that.
Yeah. You know, I think that resonates even in outside people that are addicted. I mean, you know, I don't care if it was depression. We were sin bound people. And when you want to stop, but you can't. And so I think that's very relevant. Even if someone is not addicted, those are powerful lyrics. And I love the fact that you added that shred of hope at the end. You know, I finally see the light, you know, that's amazing. Have there been any meaningful responses that you've heard from your music? You know, you said that's one that people talk about a lot. Is there a story that you, or someone you know, that's really experienced a change because of your music?
Well, that song in particular, there's one, a dear friend of mine whose name is Nick. And I knew him through a mutual friend. And he actually is a chaplain in the United States Navy. And, you know, in the United States Navy, the number one problem they have is alcoholism. And at least in you know, some of the ships that he's been on, that's a pretty common problem. And he also struggled with that problem as a chaplain.
Mm.
And so he was struggling with alcoholism as a chaplain trying to help other men.
Yeah.
And he was sent that song. And he said that that was what really caused him to surrender himself and be honest about what he was going through and seek help for it. We connected over the phone. This was a really cool thing. We connected after that, and he has some ability to bring in outside, you know, voices to come and minister to the men. At the time he was stationed at the time he was stationed at Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. And he flew me and a couple of my friends who I make music with out to Hawaii to perform on one of their ships. And so I got to go. And that was probably the coolest place I've ever performed, was on a Navy ship at Pearl Harbor to men who were struggling with alcoholism and who didn't know Jesus. And that was incredible.
Wow. That's just amazing how God opened that door for you and took that, what you've been through, what you've experienced, what he's delivered you from, and you were able to use it to minister to someone else in Hawaii.
It's not the worst place to go minister, you know?
Absolutely. That's good. That's good. So let's talk about your role at Corndale. What led you to your decision to become a pastor, and what is your role at the church?
Well, you know, early on, I was discipled by a man who really instilled a love for the local church into me. As we studied the scriptures, I could see the local church is God's chosen vehicle for bringing its message of salvation to the world. And so I always kind of had a desire to be in ministry, but it wasn't until my wife and I moved here to Omaha a few years ago, because she's in the Air Force. And so we've been stationed here for the past few years, and we'll be here for the remainder of her assignment for the next 4 years. And we started coming to Corndale Church, loved it. And I was working for a software company, wasn't sure really what was next for me. And I decided to start taking seminary classes because I had a friend at the church who was also taking seminary classes who was interested in ministry. And so that started a conversation with Bob Thune, who's our lead pastor, about doing a pastoral residency to kind of discern, hey, what might pastoral ministry look like for me? And so as far as my role now on staff at Corndale Church, it's kind of two parts. The first is what we call connections, which is basically welcoming anyone who's new to the church. The other is our city partnerships. And so that's kind of the term that we use for our relationships with other organizations in the city who are doing great work that we want to get behind and support, whether that's financially or with volunteerism or in other ways. And so that's been really cool for me because I've been on kind of on both sides of that. Before we moved to Omaha, I served as executive director of City Team Portland, which is kind of the Portland branch of the organization that I was, you know, helped save my life, which was wonderful. And so now being more on the church side of things, you know, of course, in leadership with a nonprofit, you know, I was trying to develop healthy relationships with local churches. And now on my side, on the church side, I also want to, you know, help us develop relationships with organizations like Assure Women's Center, who are already doing great work in the city and who really are an extension of the church.
Yeah,
these are people who are the church, followers of Jesus, who are doing God's work, and we want to just get behind that. And so I see myself both as an advocate for the church to get out and get involved, and also an advocate for organizations like you to come to bring things to our church and say, hey, I think we should get involved in this.
Well, we certainly appreciate your partnership, and we love when churches get involved with Assure. And once again, our volunteers, our staff, they're part of the Big C Church. And so we can't operate the way we do without the church. So I appreciate that. So I looked at the website, Corndale's website, and it says, rather than merely emphasizing evangelism, as conservative churches do, or social justice, as liberal churches do, Corndale employs a holistic approach that connects the people of your church to the needs of the city. You seek to identify both the community's needs and its assets and dreams, affirming where God's hand is already evident and building on existing strengths. Can you explain what that looks like in practice, which kind of probably falls under your connection to city partners?
Yes. So, sort of the first part of that is we want to care for the whole person, because, you know, as we know from the scriptures, Humans are embodied spiritual creatures, and so that means they have both physical needs and spiritual needs. And so we want to seek to meet both of those. And so part of how that looks like in practice is, you know, one of the things that we look for in a city partner is our hope is that they would be doing both of those things. And Assure is a great example of that, because you're meeting a tangible need for women who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. You're offering resources like ultrasounds and other information, but you're also praying with these women. You're sharing the gospel with them. You're trying to minister to their hearts. And so that's a beautiful example of that, of not just doing one or the other, but trying to meet both at the same time. And then the other part of that is we want to not just feel like we know everything about what, say, like a certain community or population needs. Mm-hmm. We want to identify leaders and resources from within those communities. They're not just going to send people in to come and tell everyone what to do. They want to identify people within that community to raise them up as leaders, resource them, and then allow them to create change in that community. And so that's sort of what we want to do as well as a church.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with David Sundman. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Do you want to make a difference but don't have time to volunteer every week? Become a church ambassador. You'll help champion the work at Assure within your church community, raising awareness and support in meaningful, tangible ways. It's a simple first step to get involved in the pro-life work at Assure. Visit firststeptolife.com to learn more and join us today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.